Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Screaming in Silence podcast, my 8 steps for coping. For most of us, severe pain is thankfully a fleeting experience, but for some, like myself, it's a permanent companion. For the past 25 years, everything I've done or experienced has been accompanied by chronic pain. Yet, to the surprise of most, I consider myself one of the luckiest people alive, and I'm thankful for this journey. Through this podcast series, I'll share with you my story and the insights I have gained that have allowed me this perspective. As the reach of my podcast grows and my message gets out to more people, I'm getting a lot of requests for an overview of how I cope so well with chronic pain. So this episode is dedicated to those people. This is not about curing pain. This is about how to live with it in a way that allows you to have the best life possible, both despite and because of the pain. For 25 years now, I've been managing my pain without the involvement of any medication or other intervention. While I have trialled new products as they've come to market, I haven't had any degree of success from them. Instead, I've relied on what has worked for me, my own personal pain management method. Of course, I'm not a doctor or specialist, nor even an accredited pain coach. I'm just a guy who has spent many years successfully navigating adversity. In this respect, I do consider myself an expert on my journey. It's argued that it takes anyone 10,000 hours to become an expert. Well, I'm soon coming up on my 10,000th day of chronic pain. I think that more than qualifies me. Step 1. Embrace. Many others will suggest the term acceptance. For me, however, my personal take is that acceptance can sometimes be seen as doing something just because you have to. Accepting our fate, so to speak. The generally recognized definition of embrace is to accept something with enthusiasm. This distinction is very important. As a chronic pain patient, accepting that we live with persistent pain can be challenging enough. It's natural to fight against something that we don't want, that isn't welcome. It's probably one of the biggest hurdles I see other pain patients struggling with, and that is understandable. However, the reality for many is that this unwelcome guest is here to stay, like it or not. Trying to remove this guest is often impossible, but that still doesn't stop most from trying. This, though, can put all your focus, your energy, both physical and mental, into a battle that you cannot win. Not only this, but it makes that guest something that your life revolves around. Everything you do can be brought down just by its presence alone. So, if this unwelcome guest is here to stay, how can we make this a more pleasant experience? For me, accepting it just won't do. I choose to embrace it, to accept it with enthusiasm. This guest is welcome in my house. I want it here. I choose to have it. The pain is now my friend. Boy, if I thought telling others that I embraced my pain was controversial, then telling them it was my friend really shocks them. I've seen and heard others say with anger that their pain will never be their friend, that it is absolutely their enemy. And to be fair, I was on the fence a little for a while myself. I never considered pain to be my enemy, I was just indifferent to it. But that indifference can still exist. I'm indifferent to what the pain does, but I welcome it in. I choose to embrace because this is a mindset change. My pain is here to stay. I can rally against this, waste my time fighting an unwinnable fight, face an enemy every day of life, make it the focus of my world that drags me down. Or I can embrace it, welcome it in, make us both comfortable, and use it to drive me forwards rather than drag me down. Step 2. Gratitude. Oh, how thankful I am to be in pain. Said no one ever, right? Well, I have, and I still do to this day. Here's why. There is no changing the fact that I had a serious motorcycle accident in 1997. The consequences of this accident were pretty serious, but they could have been much worse. I could have been killed, finished, nothing more, forgotten by time except to a few. All the experiences I would go on to have, to share with others, to create for others, all could have never happened. My 3 children never to have existed. The experiences they have had, shared with others and created for others, gone, never happened. My life took a different path that spring day back in 1997, one that would not have existed had it not been for me severely injuring myself and also not been killed. But there's more. In life, we have fond memories of teachers or educators who make a big impact on our lives. Mr. McCormick, Mr. Gillen, Mrs. Campbell, my older siblings, my parents, my children, my pain. All of these and more have left positive impressions in my life, but none so big as my pain. The lessons I have learnt and continue to learn from it are invaluable and something I may have well missed out on had I not had that accident. It's taught me resilience and strength I never knew I had. It's taught me the fragility of life and how precious it is. It's taught me greater empathy and understanding. Most importantly, I feel, it's taught me not to be a victim. It's taught me that life is tough, that it won't always go the way we planned, that life is unforgiving. Because of that, it's taught me to focus on what I have, not on what I don't. It's taught me that no matter how tough life is, it is up to us to make the best of it. I'm thankful that I got to have that lesson delivered to me in a way that I will never forget. Not only am I at peace with being in pain, but I'm also thankful for it. Life for me is about the experiences we have, and I'm lucky to have had all the experiences I have had these past 26 years, including just being alive. I know a lot of chronic pain patients hate the saying, pain makes you realize you're alive, but for me, it is so true. You will never, ever hear me say FML, F my life, because I know, despite the pain and paralysis, I'm incredibly lucky to have this life. I've mentioned the story before, but for those that haven't heard, here you go. Years ago, I was out at our local racetrack just spectating with a friend. We were talking to a prominent figure in the local motorcycle racing scene, a man who had recently lost one of his sons in a racing accident. As I stood there, my pain was taking almost every resource from me. I required every bit of focus I had just to stay standing. The whole time this was happening, I couldn't help but think what this man would do to have his son in my position, still standing by his side. Gratitude for my pain doesn't cure my pain, but it does make me realize how incredibly lucky I am, and that makes living with pain so much more enjoyable and worthy. Step 3. Perspective. Another vital tool for me in keeping on top of the mental strain constant pain can place on us. Not only for how I see myself, but also for appreciating how others see me, which is just as important. I refer to myself as one of the luckiest people alive, yet I live in constant pain and with a significant physical injury. How can this be? By taking two different views of myself. Firstly, in isolation, and secondly, in a global view. There is no doubting that my pain is significant. Not many will experience pain like it, and certainly not for an indefinite period of time. In isolation, this paints quite a dire picture. Waking in pain, existing in pain, going to sleep in pain, day in and day out. Let's add some balance to that though, and to do that I will look at myself on a global perspective. I live in one of the most amazing countries in the world, a country that many dream of visiting or immigrating to. A country where we have a fantastic health system, low corruption rates, no wars on our borders, opportunities for all, plenty of space and freedom. The list goes on. I have a roof over my head, as does everyone I know. There is food in my fridge, safe drinking water in a number of rooms in my home, constant electricity and other basic needs. I don't need to send my children off to forage for food or fetch water. Instead, they can focus on their studies and extracurricular activities. Right at this very moment, as you listen to this episode in the comfort of your home, or out on a walk, or maybe driving home from work, there are literally billions of people struggling to survive without a lot of these comforts you and I have. If you have the time and means to listen to my podcast, you too are already doing better than millions, if not billions, of other humans alive right now. Compared to so many, I have won the lottery of life. Any number of these people would swap positions with me in a heartbeat, pain and paralysis included. So yes, in isolation, my pain is significant. But in a global view, I'm one of the luckiest people alive. This is one of the reasons you won't hear me complain about my life. I mentioned perspective in relation to how others view me earlier. I commonly see complaints from other pain patients that no one understands their pain, that people expect too much from them or get frustrated by their pain. These complaints only serve to make the chronic pain patient's life even harder. For me, and I stress this is for me, it's important to understand a few important details. I never knew what chronic pain was until I received it, just as I don't understand what it's like to be confined to a wheelchair. It would be insulting of me to even begin to say I could be empathetic to their plight, because I don't live that life. I don't understand how it is. So I do not expect people to understand what my experience with my chronic pain is like. If there are things I can't do, I make that clear to anyone who needs to know. If they accept that, then great. If not, then it's not my problem. I don't get people being frustrated by my pain because I don't complain about it. Everyone in life has something to complain about, whether you have a chronic pain condition or not. Everyone has a battle in front of them. Everyone has something that is challenging them. Of course, some are worse than others. There is only so much as humans that we can take of complaints. There is no arguing that. I'm not a special case. No one needs to hear about my complaints. Don't get me wrong, please. I'm not up on my high horse saying how wonderful I am, because I'm not. I'm full of faults. But I have learned enough these past 26 years to know how to reduce frustration in my life. Frustration that would just make my life with chronic pain harder. Step 4. Patience. One of the harder tools in my toolbox to employ, but one that is very important. While I can be very patient with others, I'm not so great at applying that philosophy to myself. But I've realized this, so I'm very vigilant about it. Pain can certainly get in the way of wanting to do something, as can physical impairment. There are multiple times a day that I find myself being held back by my pain, yet driven forwards by my desire to keep moving. I have to keep this in check, because if I don't, I will do more damage than good. That can be hard to stomach at times. Realizing your limits does take bashing into them a few times, though, and we've bashed into each other a lot. But I've seen the results of this. More pain, frustration, anger, and despair. It's never a good outcome. Even if I achieve what I set out to do, I will more than likely pay for it later. I've found that a more measured approach works wonders. If I feel myself getting frustrated, I know that it's time to take a break, to back off myself. For sure, this means swallowing my pride and admitting a type of short-term defeat, but I need to remember my situation. I don't have the use of both arms, and I challenge you to try living only one day with only using one arm, but more importantly, with significant pain. My circumstances are not ordinary. They're not something the majority of the population need to face. If I need to stop and take a break, there should be no guilt, and now for me there isn't. Instead, I should, and do, feel great that I'm being forgiving to myself and allowing me to have a better chance at accomplishing what I set out to do. Pride goeth before the fall. Swallowing that pride makes living with chronic pain so much easier. Step 5. Relaxation. This step is simple enough but can be quite challenging to apply. We all know the value of downtime, time in which we can switch off and unwind, relax. Unless you're Elon Musk or someone equally driven, relaxation is something we need to remain healthy. Heck, I'm sure even Elon has ways of doing this. But when you are constantly bombarded with pain that keeps you on edge, this isn't so easy to do. However, that just makes it more important that we do find a way of getting there. For me, the way I've got to the point of being able to relax despite constant pain is by realizing the difference between hurt and harm, a topic I covered in the previous episode. It must be said, though, that just understanding the difference is not enough on its own. I found I had to dive deep into the awareness of my pain to get there. This meant letting the pain do its absolute worst to me, so I could see how far it could take me and still come out the other side without any harm, either physically or mentally. I needed to be in a very safe place mentally and emotionally to allow this to happen. I had to know I was safe. Now that I've been to those depths, which were far deeper than I realized, I can relax even with the most intense pain, although at the upper level it does take proactive thinking to managing it. Realizing I have nothing to fear from my injury has allowed me to find relaxation even in the most testing of times. Being able to relax despite experiencing severe pain makes a significant difference to living with chronic pain. It takes you off the treadmill for a little while, gives you a chance to catch your breath, and position yourself better for all the other hurdles life has. I still have bills to pay, deadlines to meet, responsibilities to uphold. Just because I'm in constant pain, I don't get a free pass on any of life's other demands. So relaxing is key not only to living a successful life with persistent pain, but also having the ability to take care of other equally important demands. Step 6. Goal setting. We hear this one in life a lot, the importance of setting goals. Often it's major goals, a home, a family, a new job, a holiday, lifestyle change. For someone with chronic pain, however, these large goals can be overwhelming when it's challenging enough to prepare a meal or tackle some housework. Once again, though, this makes getting there even more important. There is no shame in starting small, little goals to just get you through the day. Write them down if you need or keep them in your mind, but check them off as you complete them. Maybe it's as simple as doing some housework or going for a walk. Maybe it's starting a longer-term project. It could be anything. But making these lists and crossing off these goals if you achieve them will give you a sense of accomplishment, something that all of us need. Most certainly some with chronic pain that can impinge on our activities. Being fluid is important too. There have been days where I wanted to accomplish something significant, but due to my pain, I've had to reassess this. Instead of deciding that I won't do anything that day because I can't complete what I set out to do, I have simply assigned myself smaller goals. The size really doesn't matter. It's the process of completion that counts. Maybe I wanted to go out and do some recording on my bike, but I found that I'm not quite up to it that day. So instead, I'll make sure my bike is clean and all my recording equipment is good to go. This way, when I am ready to go out, everything is already prepared and waiting. There will be no nasty surprises, which will make my experience of recording much more satisfying. Goal setting, no matter the size, is important in keeping us feeling like we're accomplishing, that we are in the driver's seat. And with pain quite often wanting to take the wheel, this control is critical. Step 7. Movement. My last guest, Pete Moore from the Pain Toolkit, was a keen proponent of movement in helping living with chronic pain, especially measured movement. Measured movement allows us to keep moving, but to not take it to the point of overdoing it, which of course can be detrimental. Keeping moving doesn't necessarily mean joining a gym or fitness group. It can be as simple as going for a walk around the block. It's very easy to fall into the trap of fearing movement when living with persistent pain. There is a belief amongst many that moving will create more pain, and if overdone, this can be true. We have to know our limits, which does mean hitting those limits to find where they are. Pete explained this well, suggesting if walking 100 metres is too taxing, then walk 50, take a break, and then walk the other 50. This is a great example of measured movement. Moving my neck can be painful for me at times, but I have found that not moving it, overprotecting it, will make things worse. I make sure that I do keep moving my neck, not too far or too quickly, but gradually increasing the range when I feel tightness in it. I get out for regular walks, ride my motorcycle often, practice my martial art training, all these and more, to help keep myself on top of my pain. Not only is it beneficial for my physical health, but just as important for my mental well-being. It can be easy to feel at times trapped by our pain, which can weigh heavily on us. To quote Pete again, this is when our pain is managing us, not us managing our pain. Moving is a great way to exhibit control over the pain, that you are not going to let the pain stop you from doing what you want. It is important to remember that this is measured movement. Overdoing it will just worsen your situation and make you reluctant to try again. Whether it's going for a walk, doing some stretches, joining a gym or fitness group, measured movement is a great tool for helping improve the quality of life when living with persistent pain. Step 8. Journaling good times. Living with constant pain can sometimes make you feel that life is only about pain, that you are always in pain. For me, even though my pain is constant, it is important to remember that life is not just about that. I make extra effort to take notice of the good things in life, the feeling of warmth from the sun on my face, the sound of my children laughing, good music, the beauty of nature, riding my motorcycle, the company of good friends, reading a good book or watching a great movie. Anything and everything that I experience. Pain does remind me I'm alive, and it reminds me of how lucky I am to have these experiences. While I may be constantly in pain, I take special notice when my pain levels are low. Anything between 3 to 7 is a walk in the park, and a walk in a park is a great thing, one of life's simple but pleasurable experiences. 3 to 7 are great times for me, life at its best. Yeah, okay, I'm still in pain, but in a way it's kind of a beautiful pain, because it makes me understand and appreciate the good times I regularly receive. Pain has made me understand how good the good times are. Journaling is typically associated with writing these observations down, and it is a good way to at least start or for some to continue doing. However, I don't feel it's necessary for everyone. I don't write them down, but I hold them close to me in my mind. I practice it constantly, when driving my car, when watching my children compete, when going for a walk, talking with friends, and riding my motorcycle. I'm always reminding myself how incredibly lucky I am to experience such wonderful aspects of life. Yes, pain is always my companion, but that's all it is, just a companion on my journey. I decide what I make of life, and I make life to be the most amazing opportunity. Pain doesn't take away from that. It adds to it. It gives me appreciation for all the good I have. Journaling good experiences, whether the actual act of documenting on paper or just storing it mentally, serves to remind us that life is not all about pain, suffering, or struggling. It reminds us of how much greatness we have. Sometimes we might have to look a little harder and further, but the rewards are worth it. They will change your perception of life for the better, no matter what adversity you face. Thank you very much for joining me today. Some of you may have heard all this from me before over multiple episodes, so I appreciate you hanging in there. I really wanted to put this all together so I can direct people to one episode to get a better understanding of how I approach and manage chronic pain. Please do check out my website at onewingkiwi.com. There will be a new video coming out soon. And to all those that support me and the show, whether you're a patron or not, your continued support means a great deal to me, and I thank you very much. Until next time, take care, enjoy the life you have, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.